Kingdom greetings. Good morning. Hope everybody's well this morning. Open your Bibles in Psalm 103. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Quinn. Thank you, Dan and the worship team. Thanks for what you guys do. It's good to see you all this morning, and I pray that the Lord will find room in your heart to do his thing, you know. I know all of us sometimes, if not most of the time, sometimes you just carry something heavy. And, you just don't feel it. But once again, it's not about the feeling. You know, it's not about the feeling. You might not be happy, but your joy, the joy the Lord gives you, is from him. You know, so we sing, "I bless your name." Such a good song. I hope you took the time to really meditate on the words. You know, that song is pretty much from Psalm 103. You find it in your Bibles. It says, "Praise the Lord, I tell myself, with my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, I tell myself. Praise the Lord. And never forget the good things he has done." You know, I pray somehow the Lord would overflow your heart with his goodness. I mean, a new revelation to realize how good he is. We sing, "Lord, you are good and your mercy." I mean, just imagine. If you would owe someone, I mean, I know some of us, most of us here, we owe, you know, a couple hundred thousands on our houses, you know, or maybe your car, you owe, you know, 10,000 on your car. And all of a sudden, the car dealership would call you and say, "You know what? Today is a special day in your life. We're canceling your debt." Yeah, I mean, guys, think with me. How would you act? You know? I mean, what would be your reaction? Would you go to your friends like, "Well, guess what? Today I experience greatness. I experience something." No, that's not how you would do it. There would be all of a sudden an excitement. You know, and sometimes when we come in the presence of the Lord, we have to remind, I love Psalm 103, we have to remind ourselves, "Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good all the time, all the time." We say it all the time. How many times we say it? These are difficult days we're living in. These are not easy days. I thank you for your prayers, but I tell you, since the dedication of this church, I've been under attack, I feel like, from every corner. So please pray for me. You know, it's not easy. And I know all of you, and I know all of you, you are on this road to eternity. We all carry burdens, you know, and it might be your jobs, your family, your coworker, a lot of things. But one thing I will not let the enemy do to me is to steal my peace and steal my joy. Because the moment you lose your peace, I might not be happy. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Okay, excitement. But that's why I love praise. Because, I mean, we praise the Lord at home. I mean, here, I praise the Lord. I encourage you guys, as we move forward, trade your sorrows for joy. You know, trade your sickness for healing. You know, we do everything we do in faith. So as we move forward, and I know, was this a new song then? Was the song we did today, was it a new song? Okay, so it's kind of an old new song, but maybe some of you don't know it. You know, "Lord, you are," it's like, "Lord, you are good," and you know, get yourself in songs of praise. Verse 5. It says, verse 4, it says, He ransoms me from death and surrounds me with love and tender mercies. Verse 5, He fills my life with good things. Anybody can testify that the Lord has filled your life with good things? Now remember, when we're talking about good things, I'm not talking about your house, food, or your car, or maybe the amount of money you have. If that would be the only thing we focus on, God would be the God of the heathens. Because there are people that doesn't know God who are filthy rich. But can you imagine this week, you heard the news, right? Miss America, unfortunately. I mean, God ministered, made the presence of the Lord minister to her family and everybody that affected by her death. But she jumped off a building, 36, stories. I mean, someone who is beautiful, full of life, full of future, full of what else? It's like, what else you want? You're famous, you're beautiful, you got all the money you need. But yet, there was something missing. I realized again this week, if you have peace with God, if you have peace knowing where you're at, I'm in the center of the Lord, center of God's will, it might not be the place you want to be, but you will have peace. You will have peace when Jesus is with you in the middle of the storm. Last week I began to talk about stand your ground. Today I want to finish it. Stand your ground. I read from Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. It says, Then Jesus was led by the Spirit of the Lord in the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, No, no. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. He said, If you are the Son of God, if you are Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if only you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, you remember? Last week, he rebuked him. Get away from me, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then it says, then the devil went away and angels resist the enemy, he will flee from you. Resist the enemy, he will flee from you, and then angels, whatever season you find yourself, whatever temptation you're experiencing, that's coming against you. I'm encouraging you, this morning. I was going to say matin. Ce matin. That's good. I am encouraging you this morning. Resist him. Rebuked him. Resist him. And I pray this morning that the Lord would open your eyes to identify where the enemy is pressuring you. Oh, that's my prayer. I realize once again, more than ever, I need the presence. I need to dwell. I need to praise Him. Stand your ground. You know, last week I told you a person has not shown true obedience if that person has never had an opportunity to disobey. You don't know if you really want to obey God until you find yourself in a position to disobey. And we face opportunity to disobey the word of the Lord every day. Every day. Every day we find ourselves in position to disobey God's word. But you won't know if you have, you won't know if you will obey unless you find yourself in a position to disobey. Last week also I talked about Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. It says, but be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply. And you will enter and occupy the land the Lord God swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years. Guys, I read this again this week and I pray. I said, Lord, please do not let me spend 40 years in a 15 days journey. God, do not let me spend 40 years on a 15 days journey. See, the Lord wants to bless you. He wants you to experience freedom. He wants you to experience peace. He wants to give you a future. You know, last night I was reading just before I went to bed, I was reading, and I, you know, sometimes you, it's like I reading the Bible verse lead to verse, and I find Proverbs chapter 19 verse 3. Open your Bibles. That's fine. Let's read it. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 3. I mean, it's like I've read it before, but I completely, for me, that was kind of a new verse. Proverbs 19 verse 3. You find it? Okay, so it says, people ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at God. You weep what you sow. And how many people are so angry at God? I mean, Quinn was talking about this brother that was sharing testimony yesterday at the men's breakfast. I went with him. I'm like, yes. I mean, I don't want to use his testimony, but we all need a testimony. When we go through tests give you things to talk about God. But when you, I read it here last week, I told you this. I told you, let me read it from last week. Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 to 7 reveals that, I think I have it on the screen, it reveals that our victory over temptation does not depend on our location, position, or our needs, but on the level of steadfastness in the Word of God, our level of commitment to know God through His Word and obeying His Word will determine our level of conviction and determination to please God. I figured I'd put this on the screen so you can, you can take a screenshot of it. It's like, oh, I read this. I'm like, we have, God is a good God. We can't blame Him for things that happen to us. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. You reap what you sow. God wants us to experience good health physically. Do you know that America, even the way people eat here, most of the time contribute to bad health? I mean, I realize it because, I mean, I grew up in tropical. So when you eat tropical, you eat things from the earth. You eat things from the trees. I mean, and you're looking at an old lady that's 127 in Haiti, and you're like, wow, she's just like, still has her earrings. She's still, you know, can't see too well. Body's going down. But you do reap what you sow. People eat too much in America. Too, because we always have food. So because we always have food, there's what you call the spirit of gluttony that attached to us. We're always eating, and that's contribute to bad health. And you're like, well, and then once I hit 70 and you start having all kinds of issues, you're like, and then you're like, oh God, please heal me, Lord, praying, praying. Well, God still loves you. He wants to heal you, but some things that happen to the body, it's just the way it is. Abuse. I know this is tough gospel, but this is the kingdom gospel, the truth. Truth sounds might sound like hate for those people who don't like to hear it. You know, if you're smoking, if you're drinking, I don't know you. I mean, some of you guys, I don't know. Most of you I know. When the more we do life together, I'll know some of your stuff, and you'll know some of my stuff. But you don't want to smoke. You don't want to stop smoking. I mean, you should stop smoking. If you're smoking right now, if you're 30, if you're 20s, if you, because by the time you're 50s, you might deal with lung problem. That's wisdom. It's not good for you. You don't think about that. It's just not good for you. You want to live a good life, a long life for your children. I told somebody, I was like, well, stop telling me you need to exercise. Stop telling me that. Oh, I need to exercise. Well, stop. It's been a year you telling me this. Don't ever tell me that again. So it's like you know what to do. You never do it. So therefore, you'll never reap the benefit. So I don't want to hear it anymore. You have to do it because you know it's going to be good for you. I can keep you accountable. I can call you, but then I can call you for 3 months. If you don't have a determination to do it, you're not going to do it. That's what this sentence says. Our level of commitment to obey God's word will determine our level of conviction. Conviction. See, Jesus already had the conviction. And our level of commitment to God's word, to obey God's word, will also determine our level of desire to please God. Do you want to please God? Oh, I do. I want to please God more than anything. I don't want to please my wife more. I don't want to please you guys. That's why you can, as when it comes, this is my focus. I'm choosing my battle. When it comes to God's word, you all can hate me. I'll tell you the truth. You don't like me. I'll tell you the truth. I love you. But if you don't, if it comes to telling you to change your life, to live a life for Christ, to fall in love in the word, pray. I mean, listen, if I stop breathing, I'm dead. If you're not praying, you're dead spiritually. You have time for everything else. But never a time to seek the Lord in the quiet place. God's looking for a person, a man, a woman, in the quiet place. Now, I said it on an email the other day. I don't know, maybe it flew over the head, over your head, but I'd love for some of you to, hey, say, you know what, I'm coming to the sanctuary for 1 hour. Tell me which hour you're going to take. The benefit, it's going to be for you. Or you're like, oh, I can do it at home, Pastor. I know. I know you can do it at home. But I'm challenging you to come to the house of the Lord for 1 hour. Try it. Well, let's just try it for a month. See what happens. And you come here by yourself. Turn your phone off. You know, I was talking to a friend yesterday. I know we live in a very technical world. You know, everything is computerized. It's very convenient for me to have my Bibles in my phone. But you know something I realize? I mean, I have 3-4 groups on WhatsApp, Facebook. I've got like probably one organization I'm taking care of on Facebook. I've got tons of messages. And I realize how distracted it is for me to read my Bible on my phone. Intentional. I want to read my Bible on my phone or on my iPad. 2 minutes into it, 5 messages show up. I click on it and I read. 4 hours later, I realize I was trying to read my Bible. I'm like, wow, I got to change my strategy. That's why I encourage you, have your God notebook. Have your Bibles. Get to know your Bible. Mark it. If you have a brand new Bible, it's been new for like 2 years, get into it. Your Bible shouldn't be beautiful. It should look used. You know, write notes, have, you know. It's the word of the Lord. It's the foundation of your life. Can I have a witness? So we too, us, we will be tested. As a matter of fact, we might be experiencing tests right now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand your ground. I like that voice. Children in the house of the Lord. Stand your ground. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Putting on the belt of truth. Stand up your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. You've been justified, purified, sanctified by God, by the blood of Jesus. Verse 15, for shoes, put on peace, the peace that comes from the good news. Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold on to your shield, to the shield of faith, to stop the fury arrows of the enemy. This verse, I'm just going to go over it. I might come back some other time on the armors of God. But I'm realizing, man, Paul right here is receiving a revelation and he's telling the people, stand up your ground. But you can't just stand your ground just like that. Because you are in a fight. You're not fighting against people. You're fighting against principalities. You're fighting against the principalities of darkness. You're fighting against the world. And sometimes there's even a fight between my soul and my spirit. Because my soul doesn't want to serve God. That's why Jesus says the body is weak. If you say, when you say, you know what, I'm going to be Friday night, I get off work at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, or 3, I'm going to have dinner, and I'm going to tell my husband, or I'm going to tell the kids, listen, Friday night, I'm going to the sanctuary for 1 hour from 7 or 2 hours. I'm going to go to the sanctuary. The moment you say that, I mean, all your butt's going to hurt. Your toe's going to hurt. You're going to have a headache. You're gonna be driving from work that day with the determination to go in the house of the Lord for just you and God. You're gonna have all the excuses necessary. Even for me, I've got all the excuses. I mean, you were at church Tuesday all day. You were at church. I mean, you were praying Tuesday. Well, yesterday you were at church. Why would you come? But I'm like, I feel like I have a desire to be in the house of the Lord where there's no distraction. Oh, wow. Let's check the weather. Oh, it's cold outside. Oh, it's raining. It's going to rain. Maybe I won't go. I said, no, I'm going. I said, I'm going. I said, I am going. Because I don't want to be running after God when I can't find him. The word says, seek for the Lord while he's findable. Or, is that a word? Well, you can find him. Findable. While you can find the Lord, seek for Him. In addition to all, verse 16, Ephesians 6, in addition to all these, hold on to the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. So always remind yourself that I am saved. Oh man, there's no condemnation. I'm no longer a slave, but I am a child of God. And take the swords of the Spirit. Take the swords of the Spirit, which is the Word. Take the swords. You guys do swords fight? I don't know, but I love to watch, you know, the Chinese movies or the Japanese. Those guys, they're like, so good. They do good stuff. You know, they don't do it fast. They do it very slow, and then they speed it. You know, that's what they do. Take on the swords of God's Word so you could fight, so you could stand up your ground. Remember, your convictions are only strong if they hold under pressure. Your convictions are only strong if they hold under pressure. You will know that you are strong. Your conviction is strong when your friends tells you, oh, when they're challenging the Jesus you're talking about. You know your convictions are strong when your convictions are under pressure. See, Jesus won in the desert against the devil despite being hungry. And Adam lost in the Garden of Eden against the devil while having plenty. Conviction. Stand up your ground. Do not give in. Understand that Jesus was not tempted in the temple. Like right now, some of you might still be tempted. There might be, while you're sitting here, distraction in your mind. You're thinking, what time is it? Your belly's like, it's probably going to be lunchtime. It's all good. Are you thinking, oh, this afternoon, oh, is there a football game this afternoon? And you hear my voice in the background. That's one of them. Distraction. You know, when temptation seems especially strong, or when you think you can rationalize with doing it, think about those three things. Satan kills, steal, and destroy. And he wants you to do the things that would kill, steal, and destroy your life. That's it. Jesus was not tempted in church. He was tempted in the desert. So Jesus' temptation followed three patterns. I have my next slide. Three patterns when I read Matthew chapter 4. Follows three patterns. The first temptation concerned the lust of the flesh. Physical need. Jesus was hungry. Our Lord is hungry, and the devil tempts him to convert stone into bread. But you know what happened. Jesus replied with Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, men do not live by bread alone. That's why the more we grow in our relationship with the Lord, you will realize I have a debt. That's actually a Bible verse in Romans chapter 8. In chapter 8, in one of the verses, it says, I have a debt, but I don't owe my flesh. That's why last week I told you, when I'm in a relationship or in whatever argument with coworkers, family, even if I feel like I want to kill them, but I won't. You know why? Because I can't. Not only am I going to go in jail, but it's just not good. Jesus went on, he's like, well, even if you say to your brother, imbecile, even if you call your brother imbecile, and there's so many, I don't want to repeat them here, you all know them. People calling people name. Dumb donkey. You know? Many different names. Names you call people to just express your anger. Or at the time you might need vengeance. If you're not married, you can't live in fornication. If you're married, you need to remain faithful to your spouse. You cannot satisfy your selfish desire. Oh, it's Friday night. Oh, you know what? I'm going to kick back and drink me a 12-pack. And then you waste it over the night. It's just not good for you physically. So Jesus was tempted. The three patterns. All men. All common men. And when I read Matthew, I realize, well, I deal with the same thing. Physical needs. That's why in church you find a lot of carnal Christians. Carnal Christians mean Christians who just come to church, but they live according to their own desires. But a mature Christian understands, well, yeah, I have a debt. But I don't owe my sinful nature. So therefore, I'm not going to watch porn, period. Therefore, I'm going to remain faithful to my woman. Therefore, you know what? I might be mad right now, but I'm not going to curse. This is it. You know what? It's just self-control. There's certain things I don't do. Well, guess what? I can sit around with my friends and drink a 5 beer right now. Well, guess what? I'm not drinking this month. I'm the boss. Not the drinking. I mean, I'm celebrating with my brothers. You know what? Let's go buy a cigar. Let's smoke a cigar just to be goofy. But you know what? That's it. I ain't smoking. Just because I feel like it. I have a debt. I don't owe the flesh. That's how you experience the power that raised Christ from the dead. And you look at in other people, in other Christians' life, and you're like, man, how come they have joy? They have peace. How come, man, they're so on fire for the Lord? This is it. They put themselves in position to keep the fire alive. They're in the Word. You know, hungry. When you're hungry, there's a feeling of a need for food. Another example, fasting. And I know physically some of us, we might not be able to fast. But maybe there's something in your life you can fast. You know, I challenge young kids or all of us to fast something that's always craving for your attention. I mean, you'd be surprised, even for Facebook, for those of us that are on Facebook, to be like, yeah, this week, I'm not checking Facebook. And you're going to see how your mind's going to go crazy. This week, I'm fasting Facebook. You go to your settings, you disable it. This week. And then you're going to realize, oh, man. And every time you want to go to Facebook, say, Lord, oh, Jesus, I just wanna give you that kind of attention. I just wanna be aware. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us become more aware of, you know, interceding. The second temptation was pride of life. Pride of life. I repented over this. Because all of us, we want something to show for. Especially men. You know, you want something to show for. You want, you know. I have like five ministry school all throughout Haiti. You know. You're overseeing this so many churches. You know, you're equipping this so many pastors. You know. And it's like, there's something about building your business. And the business is worth something. And you're showing it off. Right? Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes that becomes the idol. That's why Satan came. he said to Jesus, look, look at the kingdom of this world. Just look. Look, all these things. They're mine. I'll give them to you. If only you say. You know, there's a story about a couple journalists that were kidnapped in Afghanistan. You remember the time ISIS was very big, killing people here and left and right. So those journalists were kidnapped, and then they asked them to renounce Jesus. You know, with a knife under their throat, and they're filming it. So, of course, those guys, they were like, well, yeah, sure, we renounce Jesus. We renounce it. Yeah, okay, so then ISIS dropped the knife and, you know, give them food, and they threw a big party. All that was filming, and they put in a short video. And then those guys, they got released, and then they come back to America, and there's a big interview. So during the interview, one of the journalists, you know, people were asking, well, where are you? I mean, of course, we understand you believe in Jesus, but I mean, what is that? How came? I mean, now what are you trying to say? I mean, the Lord delivered you. I mean, what's going on? They're like, well, yeah. I mean, we just played. They told us to renounce Jesus, so we just say repeat what they wanted, so we could have life. So sad. We all want to claim to this life. When I heard that story, I was just like, wow. Lord, have mercy. Pride of life. What are some of the things that you can, that, I mean, pride, your possession. It's crazy. It's the same thing in Haiti. In Haiti, it's all about, I guess it's the men, it's the heart of men. Everybody wants, you know, what car you drive, what house you live in. And then people think their values comes from that. The pride of life. We all face those kind of temptations. You know? Everybody's running after the things. And they have no time to enjoy it. Just think about that. Pride, prideful. Don't talk to me like that. In French, that's orgueil. Prideful, boastful, arrogant. Achievement. And sometimes for people to achieve, they run over a lot of other people. See, and then the last one, the third one, is the lust of the eye, possession and power. Comparison. You compare yourself with other people. And I pray that over my life, and I pray the same thing for you, that you would be satisfied with you. When you look at yourself in the mirror, I've told you this already. Man, you'll be able to love yourself. You'll be able to love yourself. And your self-worth will not come from what you have. Your self-worth will not come from what you possess or where you live. But your self-worth will come from knowing God and experiencing the power that raised Christ from the dead. Young kids, man, the pressure out there. Social media is so evil. There's good things on it. It's a good platform if you use it the right way. So be careful where you are. Be careful when you're tired. Exhaustion is the worst enemy in your life. Exhaustion. You have no time to sleep. Or even when you sleep, the time is so short. Or you have so much in your mind and you can't rest. Be careful. Be careful where you're at. Don't kill yourself trying to achieve all these things, gaining all those things, and not taking care of yourself emotionally, physically. When you're tired, man, guys, when I'm exhausted, when I'm tired, I have short temper. And believe me, you don't want to meet me when I'm like that. Ask Kendra. I'm a very cool dude. I tell you this. When I'm grumpy, exhausted, tired, worried, please stay away from me because you don't want to meet me. That's why I always go to Jesus to take care of those things before I go to you, before I meet you. But Kendra and the kids sometimes, you know, the other day, Tuesday, Ryan and I, we had, it's a good testimony. I talked to him Wednesday. I'm carrying stuff. You know, I'm carrying stuff. Things, stuff are bothering me here and in Haiti and, you know, family stuff. It's like, it's crazy. So, of course, oh, that was Thursday, actually. You know, Thursday we went home, had dinner, and we decided we're going to play a game as a family. Good time. And then, but Kendra, she knows me well. It's like sometimes you can't, you can control it, but it's just too much. And then, you know, we're having a good time. And then because I wasn't healthy at the moment, you know, I lash at Lion, just discouraged him and say things, stupid stuff. And then, you know, Kendra's confronting me, and I'm like, my inside is just boiling. And I feel stupid. I feel like, no, Lord. I said, well, you know, Jesus, he's always there. And he's there when we feel the lowest. And there was no condemnation. But it was just like, man, why did I have to talk to my son like that? You know, why did I have to be such a butt? You know, why? So I went to God. I'm like, you know what, Lord, I need you. So I text. So then Ryan had to go somewhere, so he left. But that whole evening, I didn't feel good. Because I felt like, you know, that's why be careful when you're tired emotionally. Be careful when you're exhausted. If you exhaust, take care of yourself. Sleep. Take care of yourself. Go for a walk. I like classical music, but this, in the past couple of days, I realized classical music is helping me to relax. I'm a smooth jazz, you know, like a beat kind of guy. But in the past couple of days, you know, can you bear witness, George? Classical music is just helping me. I feel like, yeah, this is my comfort zone, just classical music, just beautiful. So on Wednesday morning, me and Ryan, we had a good talk. And we fixed things. Be careful where you're at, especially when you're tired, when you're exhausted. You might say things you don't want, you might regret. You might act and overreact. And the best thing you can do is communicate. You know, be careful when you're alone, because once again, the garden versus the wilderness. In the wilderness, there's a high possibility for you to be alone. That's why, how many times you hear me pray against the spirit of COVID-19? The spirit of quarantine. Somebody was telling me the other day, young kids are committed suicide. 10 years old, 12 years old. It wasn't meant for us to live alone. You can't isolate yourself. And everybody wants to shut you down. Everybody wants to put you in a corner by yourself. It's not good for kids to be by themselves. You need a community. You need a family. You need interaction. Not online. Not just over the internet. But I need people in my life. Your children need people in their lives. And you see what's happening in society, especially in the past 2 years. Everybody wants to, you know, everybody wants to have this corner. I think one thing that kind of killed me moving back to America is the individual mindset. Individualist, right? Is that the word? You know, it's like, I'm a rock. I don't need anybody. Oh, I tell you, if you'd be honest, you'd realize how much you need people. Don't live alone. When you're alone, I hate to be alone. I hate it when my family goes away. Spirit of depression, anxiety, temptation, spirit of suicide. 2 years ago, two people that used to come to Haiti doing, one of them is a doctor, lawyer and doctor. I think she was a teacher or something like that. Good guy, man. Couple trips, we went in the southeast, man, helping people, doctors, you know, we were working with an organization. Good guy, man. Went to Georgia, visited him. I'm, yeah, cool, dude. Hang himself, 2020. In 2019. Hung himself. 6 months later, the wife couldn't take it. She hung it herself. Left two kids behind. People could have all these things Satan had to offer. Look at this kingdom, he said to Jesus. They're mine. I'll give them to you as long as I keep you lonely. As long as I keep you desperate, empty. Because none of those things would fulfill us. We need people. And you see what he does? He starts with the family, bring division. Parents with kids, brothers and sisters, and the family's like. That's why if you have a family where you guys are connected with one another, cherish it. And for the longest of time, it felt like I was the glue in my family. Kendra and I. Felt like I go and visited all my aunts. Sometimes I feel like, well, they never call me. But, there was something about honor. We do honor. There was a couple years back, I was just like, you know what? Screw this. They never call me. I ain't calling them. So I felt like I had enough. I'm not going to see them. You know, you go through those stages. And then they all start complaining. Well, what happened to Ricardo? We never see him. Well, he comes and sees his mom in New Jersey. I mean, I've got like four aunts around the community. I go see my mom. I'm like, well, I'm not going to see him when the last time they call me. You know, we go through that, right? And then, guess what? They start calling me. And my mom is not in New Jersey. Two of them already called me. Oh, just calling. See, how you doing? Have you heard from your mom? I'm like, oh, wow. There was a relationship. Calling back. So it's like, it's good. You might be the initiator. You might be the person that's keeping the family together. And when you understand the plan of the enemy is to keep everybody alone, lonely, you fight for unity in your family. So be careful where you're at. The enemy often tempts us when we are vulnerable. So be careful. Loneliness, being alone, create vulnerability. Tiredness, hungry, desperate, create vulnerability. I told you today I'm going to finish. Stand firm, stand your ground in difficult times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. Are we learning something today? Okay, you know, just sit tight. You still have plenty of time. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your word today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Open your Bibles. Thank you, Father, for your word. 2 Timothy. Because I'm going to give you how. Reinforce what you know already. Verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. It says, you should also know this, Timothy. In the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will only love themselves, their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have cool and have no interest in what is good. Verse 4. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. My goodness, this is the Bible. Oh man, don't you love God's word? They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Paul said, you must stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by many desires. Now jump in verse 10. But you, what I teach, Timothy, how I live, and what my purpose in life is, you know my faith and how long I have suffered. You know my love and my patient endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord delivered me from all of it. Verse 12. Yes, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and pastors will flourish. They will go on deceiving others, and they themselves will be deceived. So, stand, how to stand your ground? Oh, very, 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 very easy. First thing you got to do to stand your ground is you must remember the faithful one. You must remember the faithful one. Here, Paul gives us an example. Find people that are on fire for the Lord and follow their example. If you feel like your spiritual life is a little cold, who do you see that are on fire? Befriend them. Who do you see that are challenging you to get closer to God? Well, you know, follow their example. What are they doing? You must remember the faithful one. Secondly, you must follow the faithful one. You know, when I read 2 Timothy chapter 3, I come up with 6 characteristics of the faithful one. That goes, someone who is a faithful. And when I say faithful one, what do I mean? What does I mean? What does it mean? What does that mean? Who is faithful? Faithful characteristic. The first one, the faithful one live a life of transparent. I mean, I don't know how else to be. I could come here and bring you a message, verses, but I think there's a lot in testimonies. I have nothing to hide. Nothing to hide. My private life is my public life. As a matter of fact, I read it. I wrote it in my office, reading a book from Miles Monroe, Character in Leadership. He said, I protect my private life so my private life doesn't cancel my public life. It's like, whoa. That's why you should live an open life. You have nothing to hide. You should be the same person everywhere, anywhere. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but you show up as you are. But religion makes us think, oh, it's religion. I got to come up here and pretend that everything is good. All right? But I forgot. I must not forget that I'm on the same road to heaven as you. I'm not in heaven yet. If I'm not careful, you might go, I stay. But guess what? I'm going. So you better put your acting together. I'm not going to let anybody cause me to hit the rock when God tells me to speak to the rock. See what happened? Moses was frustrated. He was frustrated with the people. So God says, well, you speak to the rock, and tell the, you know, so water can come out to quench the people's thirst. Well, he was so frustrated. He's like, you know, kick the rock. God's like, come on, Moses, that's not what I told you. You can't do it out of frustration. So therefore, I'm going to allow you to see the promised land. Wow. For just that. The faithful one lives transparent life. Next slide. You know, the faithful one teach God's word. The faithful one, keep going. The faithful one practice what they preach or what they teach. The faithful one, the faithful life, faithful one live a transparent lives. Faithful one teach God's word. The faithful practice what they preach or what they know. Practice what you preach. Practice what you know. See, what makes me an effective preacher is I apply what I hear. I apply what I read. If you want to know if I'm a good preacher or a son of God, go ask my wife and my children. And then you better ask my neighbors. See, to bear witness, you need to start Jerusalem. Start at home. The people that can testify you following Christ, if you married, is your husband. And it doesn't matter if your husband knows Christ. Because sometimes you think, well, if your husband or wife doesn't know Christ, you can be very rude to them. Oh, no. As a matter of fact, if your spouse is not following Christ, you better be really kind, very kind to them. Don't let them abuse you. Because the way you're going to love them will be enough to lead them to repentance. The faithful one practice what they preach or what they read in the Bible. Are you practicing what you read? That's why I tell you, man, I'll never stop challenging you to practice what you read in the Bible, what you hear. You're hearing my voice today. Practice what you know. Read your Bible, pray every day, but not only that. Read your Bible, pray every day, and practice what it says, and you'll grow. The faithful one focus on knowing God and pleasing Him. So everything you do, the focal point is, I want to please God. I want to know Him. Know Him. The faithful one bear fruits of the Spirit. You know, Galatians chapter 5. Fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, kindness, self-control. Wow. The faithful one willingly accept suffering for Christ. Now, if people are suffering because they, you know, they're gossiping, don't accuse God. But if you, I know there are Christians out there, they're afraid to share a Bible verse. Because some of the Bible verses are just like very offensive. I make it my priority to use the social media platform to preach the gospel. I'm like, you know what, if anybody would check out my social media platform, I want them to encounter Jesus from just reading something. Why would I hide who I am? You already know what I'm going to tell you. Stay away from political issues on social media. It saves you a lot of trouble. I told you this already. But I'm going to encourage you, if you're on social media, well, share a Bible verse. Share your testimony. Well, your testimony, yeah. What did God do in your heart? Oh, yeah, go for it. Snapchat, Instagram, well, share something you're learning. Because you want to be a witness. See, a faithful one is willing to accept Christ's suffering. It's crazy that Christians nowadays, they don't want to suffer. Tell you, the moment you start loving Christ to its fullness, wow, people might hate you. Friends might dislike you. And sometimes they might think you're judgmental. Why? Because truth sounds like judgment if they don't want to hear it. But I'm not judging you. You tell the truth in love. Is anybody here with me? We must to stand firm, to stand your ground, you must expect persecution. You know, to stand firm in difficult times, to stand firm, stand your ground, and do not give in. You must continue in God's word. You know, application, how do you do that? You already know. First of all, you must believe that every word from the Bible is inspired by God. You must believe when you read something, this is God speaking to you. You must believe that the word of God is for your good, and everything in it will train you for righteousness. And I would even encourage you to memorize it. Sing the word and obey it and teach other people. Teach children. If you go on our website, you know, we're doing some remodeling on our website, and we're talking about kids' ministry. I mean, like for Michelle here, it is Michelle's responsibility to teach Jackson the word of the Lord. So as the kids come, right, Michelle? As the kids come to church, we have Sunday school. The 45 minutes we spent with them is not enough. So therefore, my goal here as a pastor is to partner with the parents. So the parents can understand when they come here, the kids go to Sunday school, it's not just something to get the distraction out of the service. Because sometimes that's a mentality. Let's just get the distractions out. I tell you, I love when the kids are screaming. Here, crying. Of course, you're going to take them out. The parents, the mom usually take them out. Dads take them out. Somebody take them out. But it's okay. It's like in this society, everybody's like, oh, kids, get them away. Distraction. When Jesus is like, come on, let the little children come to me. Let the little children come doing worship. Let them run around. Let them listen to the presence of the Lord, to the song singing, worship to God, instead of shoving them to a corner and water down the gospel. No. Have we ever taught our kids how to be selfish? Realize, man, those kids like turn to 2 years old, or even before that. I can't remember. You guys remember? Before that, they start fighting over their toys. It's the evil in them. So therefore, the kids need Jesus as much as we do. So finally, I think my last slide, and I want you to remember these. How can we stand firm? How can we stand your ground and do not give in? Remember the faithful. Remember people that has gone before you. That's what it means. Remember people that are giving you examples. And then follow them. That's why I tell you to read the Bible. Because when you read the life of the apostles, you're like, man, I've got nothing to complain about. They're getting ready to kill Peter. It's like, all right, we're going to nail you on the cross. Peter's like, come on, guys, no. Please, nail me upside down. I'm not worthy enough to die on the cross in the same position as my Lord. Huh? Because for them, life was Christ. Accept persecution if you decide to follow Christ. Accept that people might not like you, but you will always love them. And continue in God's word. I'll invite the worship team to come up. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I planted your word. I sow the seeds. It's up to you, Father, to let it go. In Jesus' name. See, this morning as we sing, I know it feels like sometimes we don't know what to do. But give an answer to the Lord. If you feel like you need to come to the altar, come. It's not about, none of us here is scared. It's got it. You know, if you feel like you need to come, if you feel you need prayer, or, you know, come to the altar, come to the altar, you do it. Give an answer to God's word. Okay? In Jesus' name, amen.